The final season, that's where Samwise Gamgee from The Lord of the Rings coaches a baseball team, a high school baseball team. And he said that the reason why he wanted to join the team was because their history of playing the game right, their tradition and their pride in playing the game right. And it was something he wanted to do, even though the team wasn't always racking up wins and it was about to be shut down. Check out the movie. It's a pretty nice, good family movie. All right. Well, today we are talking about leaving a legacy. That's our message today. I was thinking when we were praising that was a good time of praise to get us pumped up for the mission trip. I'm feeling pumped up and ready to go serve the Lord. But it also wiped me out. You get to sit down. You're all relaxed. And the benefit of that is you can't run away if you start to dislike the sermon, because you're tired. But I got to come up and preach, and I'm just thinking, whew, I need to wipe the sweat off here and get going. All right. Now we're ready. Well, if you remember, if you were here at our last Youth Sunday, we began talking about this idea of leaving a legacy. This is actually part two of our series, and it's entitled, I Will Not Leave You. I Will Not Leave You. Last month, we were looking at the life of the Old Testament prophet Elijah, and we looked at how God called him to pass on the baton to a man named Elisha. Now, it's easy to get the two confused because their names sound so much alike, but Elijah is the older prophet, and Elisha is the person he took under his wing. If you remember, what we said, and maybe you don't, so I'm going to repeat it. We said that in order for a legacy to be passed on, any type of legacy, there needs to be at least two people involved. There needs to be a leaver of the legacy. That's a technical term, the leaver. And there needs to be the receiver of the legacy. It's a lot like one of those leave a penny, take a penny things that you see. Evidently, this one's for a ninja school. But you can't take the penny out unless somebody has left the penny. And so last month, we looked at the leaver of the legacy. What does it take to be a person who leaves a legacy for Christ behind in people's lives? This week, this month, part two, we're going to be looking at the receiver of the legacy, Elisha. We're going to be looking at his life and what it takes to receive a legacy that's worthwhile. And it's all going to boil down to our main idea today. And so if you got your program, I'd take out that message outline. And if you like taking notes, I encourage you to do so. This is going to be our first one. Give you some time to find a pen. Our main idea boils everything we're going to talk about down to just a simple phrase to make it easy to remember this morning. And it's this: make a commitment worth pursuing. When it comes to receiving a legacy, you need to choose which legacy you're going to receive. Like this baseball coach, he chose the team that he was going to coach. He chose to take part and to jump on board. Well, we need to do the same thing with any legacy in our lives. We need to make a commitment. And I would encourage you, and the Word is going to encourage us, to make our commitments ones that are worth pursuing. And so if we aspire to leave a legacy worth passing on, to change the world, to impact lives, to save a person's eternal destiny, then we need to commit to things that are worth our time, don't we? Because our time is indeed short here in this life, and it's easy to commit our time to things that distract us from things that are really important. We don't want to do that. And so today we're going to look at 7 steps for receiving a legacy. And these steps will teach us what it means to make a commitment worth pursuing, what this looks like. And the first step, if you're taking notes, is this: to follow a worthwhile example. Follow a worthwhile example. When we left off with Elijah, he had just thrown his prophet's cloak over Elisha's head to call him to the ministry. Elisha didn't have to look back. He didn't have to think about things. He simply dropped what he was doing to follow Elijah. And the Bible says that Elisha became Elijah's attendant. So let's drop in on them now in the scripture. In 2 Kings, you want to open up, if you've got your Bibles, to chapter 2. and we'll see what's going on in the lives of these two guys. And when we get to the yellow words there on the screen, you can help me out. To keep it easy, I'm going to read right off of the screen. It says this, starting in verse 1 in chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but I do not speak of it." And so we pick up here with Elisha disobeying Elijah. Elijah says, "Stay here, I'm going to Bethel." And Elisha says, "No." Wait, is that right? We're talking about being a good receiver of a legacy, and he's disobeying his mentor. Yeah, okay, that's what happened. Well, there must be something else going on here. That doesn't make a lot of sense. What's the principle there? Don't listen to people that you should listen to. No. Elijah is giving Elisha a choice. He's saying, "You can bail out if you want to. You don't have to. I'm releasing you of the responsibility to come with me. You can stay here. I'm going to go off where the Lord called me to go." But Elisha is saying right back to him, "No way. No way. I have made a decision to follow a man of God who is making a real difference in people's lives. A person who is a worthwhile example to follow." Now, apparently, Elisha knows that his time with his mentor is growing short. That's when he's talking to the company of the prophets. They say, "Do you know that your master is going to be taken from you?" He says, "Yes. Yeah, I know." And so he can't think of anywhere else he'd want to be with the precious time he has left. He doesn't want to miss a minute of the last few moments and hours of Elijah's life. Now, he could have followed the ways of most of the people in Israel at that time, even the ways of the leaders in Israel. See, they weren't following the Lord. They were going their own way. If he had done that, he might have fit in a little bit better with his community. He might have fit in a little bit better at his workplace or in his school. But Elisha could see that those were not worthwhile examples to follow. Even though following Elijah would lead to a life of persecution, the threat of jail time, torture, and even the threat of death, Elisha could see in Elijah a man who was a worthwhile example to follow, and it was worth it for him to do so. And so we have to ask ourselves, who are the worthwhile examples in our lives? And are we following these examples in our lives? Would we even recognize a worthwhile example if we saw one? If we were sitting next to one, look at the person next to you. Are they a worthwhile example? I don't know. Don't shake your head and tell them no, because that can hurt their feelings. All right, don't do that. Well, like I said, last month, in part one of this mini-series, we talked about being a lever of a legacy, being a worthwhile example. And so really quickly, I'm going to highlight a couple characteristics of what a worthwhile example looks like. First of all, a worthwhile example is somebody who is not a belly acher. Remember, we talked about that. Somebody who is positive and upbeat about things. A bellyacher isn't a worthwhile example. A whiner and complainer. Number two, somebody who's walking steadily with the Lord is a worthwhile example. All right, they're a good example of the Christian life well lived. That's a good example to follow. Number three, somebody who's influencing others. Okay, this means they're a leader if they're influencing others. Number four, somebody who is encouraging the growth of others. All right, they care about people's spiritual progress. And number five, somebody who's extending Christ's call in people's lives. Now, if you want to expand on that, I encourage you, you can get the CD there from the end of June, the last week in June, and look into that. But these are the people that are worthwhile examples. And so if you want to leave a legacy that is worth passing on, when you're long gone, if you want something to have made a difference in this life and in people's lives, then you need to look to these kinds of examples and follow them. you know, I'm perusing here. I see Debbie. I don't see Randy. Good, because I'm going to talk about him. Pastor Randy, even he has examples that he follows. I'm going to tell you a little story here. A couple of years ago, Leah and I were invited to this couples retreat for pastors and their wives. We went with Randy and Debbie. And the guest speaker there for the week was Gary Habermas, or for the weekend, Gary Habermas. Now, Gary is actually from the Warren area. You may recognize his name. He actually went to Randy's home church when Randy was a youth. And Gary went on to write several books and other published works. He's a professor at Liberty University, where I've begun working on my master's. He's also one of, if not the foremost expert on the evidence of the resurrection of Christ. So this is kind of like a big dog in the world of theology, kind of a rock star among pastors. And we, of course, had the honor of attending this retreat with he and his wife. It was great, but Randy knows him personally. And so Randy and Debbie invited Leah and I and Gary and his wife out to dinner one night during the retreat. So there we were, the six of us at a steakhouse, enjoying the dinner, when something very peculiar happened. I have trouble saying peculiar for some reason. That word is peculiar to me. Randy starts looking down, and do we have a pic? There's a picture of us. That's Gary over there and the whole crew. Well, Randy starts looking down at his lap, and then he kind of looks up and he poses this ridiculously long, in-depth, ununderstandable to the normal human mind theological question to Gary. And I can't even repeat it or even begin to pretend to repeat the question because I did not understand it at the time it was posed. But Gary, of course, knew what Randy was talking about, and he gave him a pretty quick answer, being very polite. But Gary also realized that there were four of us that didn't understand what was going on, and he tried to steer the conversation back into something we could all take part in. But as time went on, Randy looked down at his lap again in his Randy Ream way. And then he came up, and he said, "Gary, what do you think about it?" And he said something else. And Leah and I are looking at each other like, for crying out loud, we're never going to be able to take part in this conversation. And that's when Gary did something that was hilarious. He said, "Randy, I know you've got a list of questions for me in your lap. You can go ahead and put that on the table." And Debbie and Leah and I began laughing because that is exactly what was going on. He pulled out his piece of paper. There it is, right there in the circle. And he had this list of theological questions. I guess the point that I'm trying to make, besides that Randy's a little bit of a nerd, although I love the man, the point that I'm trying to make is that we all have examples in our lives that we look up to. All right? Nobody is at the top. And so maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years. And you think, "I've arrived, I can't really think of an example to look for." It might be somebody younger than you. It doesn't matter the age. Look for examples that are worthwhile to follow and follow them. All right, point number two on the outline. We found our worthwhile example to commit to. The second thing is to be consistent. Be consistent about it. You want to leave a legacy? We're going to need some consistency here. Let's continue on. In the passage here, and again, help me out with the yellow letters. You're going to start to see a pattern developing here. "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'but I do not speak of it.'" Why does this seem to be the exact same passage we just read? The names have been changed to protect the innocent cities, but it's the exact same thing. Why? Because the word is showing us here the consistency in Elisha. He has picked a person, an example in his life to hitch his wagon to. Young people, that means like to follow, all right, to commit to. And I think that's what it means. If it doesn't, I apologize. But he has picked his person, and he's decided to stick with this commitment. You see, we do this. We commit and we're excited at the beginning when we commit to something new. Maybe the day we trusted in Christ, we're a new creation now. We've crossed over from death to life. It's exciting. But as we go on in the Christian life, our excitement can wane. And we can start thinking, I'm getting a little tired of doing the same thing over and over again. Every time I go to church, we sing the songs. He says a couple of jokes, and I think he talks about the Bible. And then we leave, and it's the same thing over and over again. And we get tired of it because, you know, we're humans, and that's what happens with us. But Elisha is in a position here where his mentor is saying to him again.
Is that me? They're shaking their head no, but I'm not hearing my voice anymore.
Elisha, why don't you go ahead and sit here? And Elisha says, no, I'm still not going to make it. Now, he could have said, you know what, I've already followed you this far. My feet are kind of tired. I can go from city to city. I wouldn't mind, you know, sitting this one out. But again, Elisha has got consistency. People say something that you can do. Not so. If you're feeling burned out, or that every day you're doing the same thing over and over, I'm still not hearing myself.
Because it's muted. You gave me a twice off mic. That's okay, though. I forgive you. All right. If you're feeling burnout or that every day you're doing the same thing over and over again, take some time out to remind yourself of how worthwhile the cause is. You see, Elisha remembers the great things that his mentor has been called to do and that he's been called to do. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves how important being a light for Christ is in this world. When we do that, it doesn't matter if our feet are hurting a little bit. It doesn't matter if we feel like we're doing the same thing day in, day out. It doesn't matter if it feels like we've been a Christian for 20 years and our circumstances still haven't changed. We're still dealing with the same struggles. Or that life hasn't been a bed of roses, because it's worth it when we reflect on what we're doing. And sometimes what we need to do is, when we don't feel like it, we need to keep our commitments anyways, because that's when we need to be doing it the most. The first time I ever read the Bible all the way through was the year that I decided to read the Bible even when I didn't feel like it in the morning. Even if I was running late, or I woke up feeling groggy, or I had a headache, or I was sick, I decided even if I went into it begrudgingly, into God's Word, I was going to read it every morning. Because probably the times when I didn't feel like reading God's Word was the time I needed to be reading God's Word the most. That's right. Thank you. And so keep our commitments. Step number three, go where others won't. Go where others won't. This is going further than just keeping your own commitment. This is going when others stay back and say, whoa, that's far enough. I'm not crazy. I'm not going this far. We need to go further when it comes to leaving a legacy. Let's pick up in the story again. Maybe this is something familiar to you. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. 50 people might be willing to stand at a distance and watch a person follow God's call in their life and do great things in the lives of others. But you, Christian, don't just hang back with the crowd. Don't just hang back with the crowd. Go out with the called and see what's happening. Elisha has the opportunity to hang back again. His mentor said, you can hang with these other 50 guys if you want. I'm going to go over here. But again, he chooses to go forward, and look what he gets to experience. He gets a mini Red Sea reenactment, doesn't he? Now, the others saw it from a distance, and it, to be sure, just to be in the company of the prophets would have been awesome to stand back, however far away they were, and see the waters divide. That's a great sight to be sure. But Elisha, because he went where others wouldn't, he was able to walk through on the dry ground and say, I felt the dry ground under my feet. I saw the waters on both sides of me like there was glass holding it in place. He got to see it. You know, there are people at our church who are going out and serving the Lord, passing out Bibles or Bible tracts, working at missions. There's a group of people in their 20s that meet regularly. You can come and talk to me, and I'll point you in their direction. Get involved with people that are out there doing things. Go where other people won't. Go where it's a little uncomfortable to go, because I'm telling you, not only will you hear the great stories of what God has been doing in other people's lives, but you'll get your own stories. You'll get to see and experience the power of God in your life when you go where others won't go. And while you're on your way, we've got another step for you. Since we're walking anyways, going where other people won't go. On your way, you want to do step 4, and that's to set high goals. Set high goals. When it comes to leaving a legacy, if you say my goal in leaving a legacy is to be able to balance a spoon on my nose and teach others to do so, good for you. But I wouldn't call that a legacy that's going to change the world. And I wouldn't call that goal too high, although I can't do it. But you got to set high goals. Let's look at some of Elisha's goals. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elisha replied, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. Elisha's getting a little greedy. I mean, he's been traveling with Elijah, benefiting from his knowledge, seeing miracles like this parting of the waters. And now, all of a sudden, he wants this double portion of Elijah's. What does that even mean, a double portion of his spirit? Some biblical scholars think that it means that he wants to do twice as many great things as Elijah. In fact, there's a little bit of support for that in the Bible, because the recorded miracles that Elijah does are twice as many as the recorded miracles in the Bible that Elijah does. Okay, so the mentee does end up doing, at least what's recorded, twice the amount of miracles. And some people have concluded that's what this means. He wants to be twice as powerful or do twice as many things. But actually, there may be something else going on here as well. And we need to know a little bit more about the Hebrew culture in that day. You see, in those days, when a man was about to die and he was thinking about leaving his inheritance to his children, the oldest son would be the new man of the house. Okay, he would be the one that would be the new head of the family. And to him was left a double portion of the inheritance. Okay, the oldest son, like, for example, in the Bordeaux household. I am the oldest son, all right? I've got 5 younger brothers. I'm going to get twice as much money. all right, maybe that is a little greedy. I apologize and for using this as a platform there. Sorry, Mom and Dad. All right. But anyway, the reason was he was going to carry on the legacy of the family. The oldest son was. And so that was just a usual, normal thing in the culture at that time. And so Elisha, what he's saying to Elijah here, and Elijah understands this, he's saying, listen, there are lots of other prophets. I mean, look at all these companies of prophets that they're talking to in all these different cities. A lot of different prophets, but Elijah, I would like to be the one that gets the baton from you. I would like to be the one that carries on the legacy. I would like to be like the oldest son out of all the prophets. That's what he's asking, and it's a huge ask. It is a huge goal for him, because if you remember from last month, Elijah was called by God to change who's the king of Israel, to change who's the king of a neighboring country, and to change the tide of how people from people worshiping idols to people worshiping God again, because the whole nation almost has turned their back on God. Elijah's been called to do amazing things, and Elisha's saying, I want to take that up. I want to take that over for you. And so it's a huge thing. What are the goals we set in our spiritual lives? Are they big goals? Maybe your goal, after you trusted in Christ to save you, was to not lose your salvation and end up in heaven when you die. Well, I'm telling you that while that is an awesome privilege, it's not a very high goal. And here's the reason. Christ did the work for you to pay for your sins. You can't lose your salvation. And so if you've trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be in heaven when you die. And so that's like setting a goal for me to hold this podium. I'm already doing it. Goal accomplished. Okay, come on now. I'm talking about real goals. Have you read through the entire Word of God? If you haven't, that's a good goal. Do you read the Word of God regularly, daily? If you don't, that's a good goal. Are you in communion with God in prayer daily? That's a good goal. Is there sin in patterns in your life that you need to break? Maybe it's pride, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's a sexual addiction. That's a good goal. And those are high goals, and those are tough goals to meet, to be sure. But we have the Holy Spirit helping us. And just like Elisha, if we stick it in there, if we commit to it and work at it and trust in the Lord, we can achieve it just like Elisha did. He achieved his lofty goal, but you got to set them. You got to set them to achieve them. I don't know what the goals are that you should set in your life, but you know. And if you can't think of something, ask the Lord, even right now, to reveal to you what goals should be set for you to be able to leave a legacy one day for Christ in somebody's life. All right, the fifth step we're going to look at today, let's move on there, is to show proper respect. Show proper respect. This is important. All the parents are really hoping for the fifth commandment right now to come out, and maybe it will. We'll just have to see. Let's continue on with our story. There it is. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. Elisha loved his mentor. He respected his mentor. He saw Elijah as his own father. We live in a culture that's very anti-authority. We live in a culture that is always wanting to rebel and overturn those that are above us. That's how our nation was born, right or wrong. I'm glad that we're the nation we are and that we're free and all this kind of thing, for sure. But ever since our nation has been born, we've been all about rebelling against authority. We complain about our bosses. We suspect our leaders of wanting to take advantage of us. And you know what? There are a lot of wicked people out there. There are wicked people that are out for themselves and out to take advantage of you and me, and they are in leadership positions, some of them. But if you have found a man or woman of God who genuinely loves the Lord, who has a track record of genuinely caring about your walk with God, then you need to show some proper respect to that person. We need to show proper respect to those people in our lives. This means taking the Sunday sermon seriously, even if it seems like the youth pastor tells too many jokes and maybe he's not taking it seriously. When Randy's up here preaching, it means showing him the appreciation for coming out here and proclaiming the Word of God to us, the elders that have been set up, any examples in your small groups or in your family. We need to be showing them respect and love, because the time is going to come when they're going to speak into your lives something you need to hear, and it might not be what you want to hear. And if you don't have love or you don't have respect for them, you will not be ready to hear it. And people that have gone before you, people who care about you, that speak into your lives, speak truth into your lives, they're going to set you on a path that will help you avoid lots of heartache. And if you're not loving and respecting them enough to listen, then you're just going to have to learn the hard way. if you ever get back around at all. Young people, and all people, this means if you have parents that love you, that care about your well-being, you need to love and respect them. You know, there should be a commandment on that somewhere. And, oh, wait, there is. Honor your father and mother. All right? God puts it right there in the top 10 for us to show honor to those that are in authority over us, especially when they genuinely care about us and are seeking our best, because the time is going to come where we need to say, okay, I don't necessarily agree with you, but you might know best, and I'm at least going to consider what you have to say. All right, step number 6. We've honored and respected those that we've hitched our wagon to, as they say. Now it's time to apply what we've learned. Apply what you learn. This is an important step, and if this step is missed, then as far as leaving a legacy goes, well, it simply isn't going to go. It's not going to happen. You see, we can get all filled up with all kinds of knowledge, but if we don't apply what we're learning, then it's not being passed on, and it's not a legacy at all. It may have benefited you, but it isn't necessarily going to benefit others around you. Let's go on in our story this morning. It says here, talking about Elisha, he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. I guess he got his inheritance after all, didn't he? Elisha's mentor has just been taken from him. A mentor that he loved, respected, wanted to spend all his last moments with. And now he's gone. He's taken from him. Does this mean we're going to find Elisha in the local bar talking about the good old days when he used to hang out with Elijah and see C's part? Is he going to be telling old war stories about being a prophet and speaking to kings and leaders and other prophets, the false prophets? No, that's not where we're going to see Elisha. He's not just going to take his stories that filled up his head and his experiences that filled up his heart and just sit on them and think, wow, that was a good time. I'm glad I had that. No, he is a man of action. He is going to get down to business. He didn't spend any time at all wasting, you know, wondering where Elijah had gone, thinking about all, reflecting over all the things. He went back and got right back down to business. He's already doing a miracle right out of the gate. All right? If we sit around in church, I mean, let me ask you this. How long have you been going to church? Don't shout it out, because that'd be a mess. Think in your head. How long have you been going to church? Just think about that. Think of the days or weeks or months or years. Think about you're not going to be able to bring all this to memory, but how much have you learned about the Lord in that time? How much have you learned? If you've been going for 5 years, you've probably learned a lot. If you've been reading the Bible, you've probably learned a lot. Now let me ask you this. How much have you changed for the Lord in that time? See, that's an important question. Because if we come together and encourage each other to grow closer in our relationship with God, to reach out to others with the gospel, if we learn about all of this and pump each other up, but we never apply it, then our lives are not changed. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is helping each other grow and change in the Lord, to apply what we've learned. This Bible here, and your Bible, not just this one, this Bible is not meant to inform us. Well, it is, but not only. It's meant to transform us, to transform our lives. And so are you applying the things you learn? We talk about reaching out with the gospel. When's the last time that you shared the gospel with a friend or a neighbor or a classmate or a coworker? When's the last time you shared the gospel? Because we talk about sharing the gospel here. We talk about being in the Word. Are you reading the Word? You know, are you applying what you learn? If you are, awesome. That is awesome. And you are on your way, and you may already be leaving a legacy, and that's great. If you want to leave a legacy and these are things you need to work on, start working on it. Just start doing something. Just start doing something. The last thing we're going to look at, the last step here today, And it's a pretty big step. And it may be the one that everybody is on the cusp of needing to do today with this message. And it's this: accept lofty responsibility. Accept lofty responsibility. Leaving a legacy is a lofty responsibility, at least a legacy that matters. Not a legacy of distraction, not a legacy of earthly things, the things we wear, the music we listen to. Those things are nice and good. But if you're leaving a legacy of that, it's not that lofty. You just kind of wear pants and say, hey, check out my pants. Okay? Leaving a legacy that matters is a lofty responsibility. Let's look here at the final part of the story that we're going to look at here today. Picking it back up in verse 15. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went out to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. The transfer of position and responsibility has taken place in Elisha's life at this time. And in many ways, the weight of the nation of Israel has been placed squarely on Elisha's shoulders. It's lofty, and it's a huge burden for anyone to bear. He's bearing the weight of bringing about revival in an entire nation. But Elisha has been training for this. He's been seeking after it. He's remained faithful and respectful. And now he's finally received what he has been pursuing. This new chapter has opened up in his life. Elisha is going to go on to do great things for the Lord. And he's going to change many people's lives forever and show them that God genuinely, truly cares for them. Not just about their eternity in heaven, although that's very important, but right now he cares for these people. He's going to show people that. He's going to teach how God judges in righteousness, but that he gives grace to those that are humble. Well, carrying the title of Christian is a lofty responsibility today. Maybe you don't see this as being the case, but I want to encourage you to start, because I think if you don't see being a Christian as a lofty responsibility, your view of what being a Christian means is not complete. You see, the church is the physical representation of Christ in this fallen world. The world is on a collision course with eternity because of sin. And there is no way that humanity is going to survive death and judgment on their own. The good news is, God loves us. He loves us and wants us to be saved from our own sin. Jesus took our penalty on the cross, paying the price for our sins so that we can cross over from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven by trusting in his work, by putting him up as Lord of our life. And Christian, there are people that are choosing not to trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they will go and they will serve their punishment out in eternity, even though Christ has paid the penalty for their sin. And it's our job to do everything we can to stop as many people as possible from making that tragic decision in their lives. I hope I weighed a little bit of weight on you today. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. That's the good news for us. We didn't do the work of saving anybody. That was Jesus. And this weight that we have to tell people about it is also carried by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the good news. But the challenge is whether or not we will take hold of this legacy, whether we'll step up like that coach that chose to coach that team. He chose to do it. We need to choose to accept the responsibility to pass on that legacy. That's what it takes to receive a legacy from Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then ultimately this is the first step for you this morning. You can do that right here. You can come and talk to me, or we'll have our prayer team down here after the service is done, and you can talk to one of them. You can talk to the person you're sitting next to, say, hey, are you a Christian? If they say, yeah, how do you become one? You know, that's all you need to do, all right? Or you could just do it right here in your seat. You just tell the Lord, you talk to him, and you say, Lord, I realize that I need to be saved, that I've sinned, I fall short. But I don't want that punishment that Chris was talking about. And so if Jesus took that for me, I believe in that. I trust in his payment for my sin. I'm going to put him up as Lord of my life. Teach me what that means, Lord. When you've done that, when you've meant that, they aren't magic words. You have to mean that. When you've done it, you've crossed over from death to life. Tell somebody about that if you've done that this morning. Christian, those that have been coming here for years or wherever you go, you've been attending and worshiping God for years, I encourage you to step it up. Leave a legacy behind. Tell somebody else about Christ. Follow these 7 steps. If you're confused on what to do next, judge where you are and do the next thing. All right? In short, make commitments worth pursuing. Make commitments worth pursuing. We're going to close our service in a few moments here. We're going to invite the praise team to come up and our ushers to come forward. And as they're coming up, I'd like to pray for all of us. And I'm going to pray for the mission trip, too. Our senior hires, we're going to be packing up the trailer and getting out of here in about an hour or so. So please pray for us during the week as we go out and try to leave a legacy in people's lives in the Chicago area. I also want to, since we have the opportunity, he's probably doesn't want me to do this, neither of them do, but we're being hosted by some friends of ours in Chicago, and they're not really charging us anything to stay at their facility, their church youth house, and it's the youth pastor at Messiah Lutheran in Joliet, and his name is Dave Steer, and he and his wife Dana are right there. They happen to be on vacation. So and I know that they absolutely would not want me to have done that, so I did it. Because that's the way it works here at Stony Creek Church. All right. Leave a legacy, but to be able to leave it, you got to receive it. So I pray you would. Choose a worthwhile cause to follow and commit to it. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning and this day that we could come together and worship you. I thank you for the vibrant praise that we were singing. I thank you, Lord, for opportunity to get in your word. And I thank you for good examples in Scripture like Elisha, who is a man that was excited to receive a legacy from you, from another man of God, and he was excited to pass it on later in his life, Lord. I pray we would be like him, that we would receive a good, worthwhile legacy to leave behind, and I pray we would take the steps to leave it. Lord, bless us on the mission trip. I just pray that as we go, the youth staff and the senior hires, as we go out there, I pray each of us would be filled with your Holy Spirit, that you'd go before us and open up doors for people to receive the love that you have for them. We're just showing them in tangible ways, God, that you care right here and right now. Lord, bless this offering and use it to carry out your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.